The scripture reading this afternoon is Hebrews chapter 11. And this chapter is also the text for the sermon this afternoon. Hebrews chapter 11. And there we read God's holy word and also the words of our text. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So far the reading of God's holy word and also the words of our text. Congregation, the epistle to the Hebrews is a most beautiful book in Scripture, because nowhere do you find in Scripture the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ so profoundly displayed. It's here in the book of Hebrews that you find the work of the Lord Jesus as priest, beautifully displayed. And that's why the book of Hebrews is a very comforting, a very uplifting book. It's very Christ-centered. But the book of the Hebrews is not the most easy book to read, is it? But this chapter 11 is something we like very much, because it all refers to historical persons of the Old Testament. And sometimes ministers will have a series of sermons on Hebrews 11. In my former congregation, I preach a series on Hebrews 11. And in Hamilton, now I try to preach a series on the book of Hebrews. And then you come to Hebrews 11. The point of the book of Hebrews is that these Hebrews were Jewish Christians. They were Jews who had come to conversion and who were now being oppressed by their fellow Jews. They were forbidden to go into the temple, and that was a tremendous blow for a Jew if he would not be allowed to go to his cultural center, the temple that was the heart of Judaism. Think of what the disciples said to the Lord Jesus. Look at these buildings, Master. Are they not wonderful? Are they not beautiful? Indeed, it was a beautiful sight, white marble, and there was golden roofs and domes. It was a beautiful building. It was the pride of the Jewish nation. It was a world wonder when later on in the year 70, the temple would be destroyed. The Roman general Titus commanded his troops not to burn the temple. But the Roman soldiers, very disciplined men, were beyond themselves because of the fanatic Jewish resistance that they burned everything down. They were such frenzy, they were not to be stopped anymore. It was God's plan that the temple had to go. But coming back to these Hebrew Christians, they were not allowed to go anymore into that beautiful temple. And what did they have left? Nothing. That's what they thought. Nothing. We used to have the beautiful high priest in his beautiful garments, and we would look at a distance at how he would do his work and how the sacrifices would take place in all that beautiful copper and brass and gold and bronze. It was beautiful. And the priest would come out and lift up his hands upon us, and we would return home with a blessing. And the sprinkling of blood, reconciliation would take place. It was so profound. And the singing in the temple, it was so glorious and beautiful. And that the Jews were not allowed to go there, the Christian Jews, that was terrible. And on top of that, they were being persecuted. They had all their possessions robbed. Imagine coming into your home and they take everything away, and they did it joyfully, it says. That means that these Hebrew Christians joyfully parted with their goods because they believed they had a better inheritance. But now they were having second thoughts. They were thinking, is it worth it? We're being cast out of our family and our parents who raised up in Jewish faith. My mother is weeping because I've become a follower of Jesus of Nazareth, and I have forsaken and become a traitor to Jewish faith and to Moses and the prophets. Is it worth it? And then the apostle writes them this epistle and says, realize what you have is far better than what the Jews have. The Jews have all their pomp and their building and their glory, but it's only symbolic. You have a real thing. You have a real high priest who didn't go into the Holy of Holies once a year after he sacrificed blood for himself. But this Savior, he has gone once and for all into the heavenly sanctuary. The temple, it's only a blueprint. Who looks anymore at the blueprints if you have the real building? Who of you would look at the blueprints of this beautiful church building you have here in Chilliwack? Who was the last one to look at it? You haven't looked at them for years. They're somewhere in a closet. Why don't you look at them? Because you have the church building. And so the apostle is saying, the Jews, they only have the blueprint. And they are gloating, saying, we have the blueprint. But you have a living Savior. He doesn't have to bring sacrifice after sacrifice. All those sacrifices in the temple, they cannot save one sin. But you have the real sacrifice. You have a real Savior who is fully aware of your weaknesses, a high priest, an advocate in heaven at the right hand of God. And Jesus, He is above Moses, He is above Joshua, who led the people into the promised land. He is above the prophets, He is above Aaron, He is above angels. The Jews, they will gloat in angels. We have the law by angels, and they gloated in that. But Jesus is far above angels. He is superb. He is altogether lovely. And so He is encouraging these Hebrew Christians to persevere in faith. I know you're going through a struggle, but don't forget, Christian life is with a struggle. And if you want an easy ride downhill, you won't get it. Don't think of becoming a child of God or a Christian, because a child of God will have struggles in his life. And He is encouraging these Hebrew Christians that it's worth it in spite of the troubles, in spite of the struggles. It's worth it. More than worth it. And then He goes on to give a whole list of examples of people of the Old Testament who all lived by faith. And there's something special about all these people. What's that? They all had a struggle. They all had a struggle. And you now have a struggle too. And God's children who live now have a struggle. It can't be otherwise. In whatever way, there will be a struggle. And the devil is so very quick to discourage. It's very quick to say it's not worth it. Give up, lighten up, forsake the Lord. But here, the apostle is giving his whole list of examples that all these believers of the Old Testament were strengthened and by the compassionate Christ Jesus. When you have become a disciple of the Lord Jesus, when you've learned to love Him and live with Him, you will be faced with opposition. Opposition, why? Why is it always with a struggle? Because we live in enemy territory. If you are a child of God, you have the world against you. You have your own flesh against you. You have the devil against you. And sin is lying at the door. There will be a struggle. It is a race. It is a battle. That's how it is. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, the Lord Jesus says. For many there are who don't go in. And on the last day, then when they see they have to, then they will try. But then it's too late. And many there are that walk on the broad way. Also many church people, they walk on the broad way. And in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16:33. Living by faith. Not by our feelings, by faith. And faith, what does faith do? What is faith? Is faith a work we do that qualifies us to receive grace? Faith, no, no. Faith is looking. Faith is crying out unto the Lord, Lord Jesus, help me. That's faith. Hebrews 11 starts with a description of faith, not a definition. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance, the contents of things hoped for. It's the proof, the evidence of things you can't see. That's what faith is. Faith is not a definition here. This is not a definition of faith. It doesn't say, speak about the Lord Jesus, about atonement, about repentance that's connected to faith. No, faith is here a description. which suits the needs of those who are being addressed here. It's a description that suits the needs of those who are addressed here. And we're speaking here, of course, about Christian faith. When it says here in Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith is the evidence of things not seen. It doesn't speak about pagan faith. They also believe things that they don't exist. And they may believe in something, but that's not the proof that it will come, because that won't come. We're speaking here about living Christian faith that is based upon the sound foundation of the Word of God. That's what we're speaking about. And when people believe, they will receive things they cannot see. God's Word says that God's Word tells us about. That's the evidence. It's true. It's real. And so the believers in the Old Testament, they rested on the promises of God. The Old Testament believers, what did they hope for? What were they looking for? They looked for Messiah. They looked for the promised Savior. In the shadows they saw Him. And the godly ones, they were waiting for His redemption. Oh, that Thou wouldest rend the heavens, Isaiah said. There was a cry for Messiah. And they went right up through all the generations, right until the days of Simeon and Anna in the temple, when there were those in Jerusalem in those dark days who waited for the redemption and the consolation of Israel. There were those godly ones waiting for Messiah. And that is the faith that we're speaking of here. And the New Testament believers are called to live in that same faith, not for a Messiah to take away their sins, but for Messiah who will come to deliver them. A Christian, we can say, is someone who looks for the coming of Christ, that either he will be taken to be with Christ, or that Christ will come to be with him. They are people who live for the better day. Are you a Christian? Are you longing for something better? Well, we find here then a description of what faith is. And also then that it says in verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Those elders mean those of previous generations, the ones of the Old Testament, the believers. They received a good witness through faith. Verse 3, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith believes in creation. In church, we are creationists. We believe that God made all things out of nothing. And we believe that God did that in 6 days. He made heaven and earth. It's not only Genesis 1, 2, and 3. It's throughout Scripture. God spoke this world into existence. And one day He will create a new heaven and a new earth. He will speak it into existence. For He is God. The world was formed. And the plants and the animals. We can't fathom that. You don't have to fathom that. It says here in verse 3 that we understand, but really the word understand should also be we know. In the Dutch translation, I think it is know. Because you don't understand it, how creation happened. You don't have to understand it. Who can understand the great works of God? But we see it and we believe it And we adore the one who did it. God spoke. We believe it. You know, our society is based on faith. It's built on trust. What do we mean by that? We drink water from the tap because we trust and believe that that water will be so purified that we can drink it. You trust it. We eat food in a restaurant and we are confident that it's not contaminated. We receive money in the form of a check and the intrinsic value of a check is nothing. We undergo surgeries. We don't even understand what they're going to do with us. But we trust and we believe that the doctor will do what he's called to do. You see, in some extent, we live by faith in our daily life. That capacity for faith is created in us, and likewise, spiritual faith rests on that same trust. It accepts things that we cannot understand. It rests on the basis of God's Word. Many unbelievers, they believe absurd things, and it's based on human irrationalism. It's based on human fantasy, and they believe that. They try to escape from their problems by going into astrology, into cults, even into witchcraft. But it leaves them desolate. It leaves them in bondage, in slavery. It leads to outer darkness. They are left with absurdities. But those who know the Lord, who trust in God and in His Word, they have perspective. The God who made the world can also fill one's heart with true meaning. Believing in God and His Word gives reason for living and for dying. They believe to the saving of their soul, Hebrews 10, verse 39. Faith is essential. And that faith we find in abundant measure in the Old Testament. And all those elders, all those one of the previous, the older generations, they are, as it were, crying unto the church now, carry on, persevere, keep on. And that's now all brought to the fore to encourage these Hebrew Christians. And so we find then in Hebrews 11 a whole list of those believers. Some lived between creation and the exodus out of Egypt. Others in between the exodus out of Egypt and the entry into Canaan. And the list would become endless. And so the apostle has to limit himself. He doesn't even have enough time to say it all. He says, I don't have enough time. So he says this in, that he doesn't have enough time, and so he takes all the prophets together. He has to limit himself. He mentions some judges, one king, and of all the prophets as one whole. But the point is, he's saying, they look to the promises of God. They live by faith in the midst of all their trials and afflictions. And so we see a list of simple men and women who all had a struggle to go through. Look at Abel. What was his struggle? Well, boys and girls, what do you think? What was Abel's struggle? What do you think of the name Cain? Because Cain hated his brother. It didn't just happen overnight. No, there was a long sequence of events leading up to that moment when Cain killed his brother. And why did he kill Abel? Because Abel loved God and Cain couldn't take it. But he remained faithful to God. And then we have Enoch. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. What was Enoch's struggle? Well, he had no struggle, did he? He didn't even have to die. He was just taken out of this life. Yes, Enoch had a struggle. The Bible tells us this in Jude, verse 14 and 15, where it says, "And Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." That was Enoch's struggle. He had to witness about the judgment of God in the midst of a wicked generation. And that's not easy, to proclaim the judgment of God, but Enoch did it. He was a faithful man, and they must have hated him for it, and they must have glared at him. Maybe they did worse to him, but God translated him. And we think of Noah. He was alone with his family in a world filled with sin. Sure, there were some of the godly left, but they were falling away. They were dying until finally he was left the only one. And he was a preacher of righteousness. And he preached for years and years. And we don't read of any converts. To preach for years and years, something he preached for 120 years. And no converts. But he believed God. He did not give up his preaching. And he built an ark on the middle of the land. People laughed at him. That was his struggle. And we think of Abraham. He was a rich man. He lived in Ur of the Chaldeans. How did he live there? In a tent? No, sir. He lived in a beautiful home. He was rich. He had flocks. He lived in comfort and ease, the best that the culture and the days of that time could offer him. And he had to give up all that luxury to lead a difficult life, to live in tents his life long. And Sarah went along with her husband. It was also a sacrifice for Sarah. She had to go along. And she did it. And then the promise that he would inherit the land of Canaan. But he received nothing of it. He had to buy a plot of land and a cave to bury his wife. And he would receive a child and the struggles he had for years and years. Until finally he received a son, Isaac. And then he had to sacrifice his son. Imagine what that must have been, how the devil must have been glaring at Abraham and telling him, "Is this now what you get when you follow Jehovah out of the land of Ur back to Canaan?" To Canaan? But Abraham, he persevered by faith. And you think of Isaac, life was not easy for him. And Jacob, all the disappointments and the hardships he went through. And Joseph, who was unjustly cast into prison, sold as a slave into Egypt. And he was faithful to the Lord at a royal heathen court. None of these men, by the way, had the comforts in life that you and I now enjoy. They had a much harder life than you and I realize. And then to think of Moses, the man who was raised in the palace of the superpower of those days. He had servants, he had luxury. He could have become the successor to Pharaoh himself. Anything he wanted, he could have. But in his early childhood, he had been taught the ways of the Lord. And in verse 24, we read something that people would think was totally bizarre or totally irrational. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He didn't want to belong to Egypt. He gave it all up to belong to a people of slaves, because he saw this people has future. But it became even worse for Moses. He was willing to become a refugee, and it says in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. By faith he left Egypt. He left Egypt while he was looking to the Lord. He left Egypt not in terror, not in panic. He left Egypt by faith, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's how Moses fled to Midian. He looked unto God. He was a man of faith. He saw the invisible one. He didn't know how, what, or when, but this people has the future. And by faith he went into Midian, and there he had to look after sheep. 40 years until he was 80. His life was done. His life was wasted. Where is the God whom I had expected? But we know what happened. And so the apostle is realizing he can go on and on for a long time. And in verse 32, he is saying, what shall I more say? The time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and all the prophets. Look what they did. 33, 34, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women receive their dead raised to life again. We see it all happen. The widow of Zarephath received her son back to life again. Now I know that thou art a man of God. And we think of Daniel in the lion's den. And we think of the three men in the fire. Our God is able to save us, O King Nebuchadnezzar, but if not, be assured we will not follow your commands. If he will not be pleased to save us, we will still obey him. And you know what happened? The Lord saved them. And Samgar, the judge who fought off a whole Philistine army, by faith, they looked to God. They looked beyond the struggle. They looked beyond the hardship. They looked beyond their own capacities, beyond their own abilities. They looked at Him who is invisible, who is all-powerful. In verse 35, we read how they were tortured and they didn't accept deliverance. And they said, carry on with your tortures. We will not deny the Lord Jesus, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. They did not deny faith. These people had such a struggle. We read in 36 through 38, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, it said of Isaiah, that he was sawn in pieces. They were tempted, they were slain with a sword. It was said of Jeremiah that he was stoned by the Jews in Egypt. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, and that refers to the Syrian persecutions between the Old and the New Testament, when the Syrians came into the land, the age of the Maccabeans that we cannot go into now. But Then those who are faithful to the Lord, they even put sheepskins upon them so to crawl along the mountains to escape from their tormentors, of whom the world was not worthy. The world was not even worthy to have such godly, faithful men. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. There's nothing here of health and wealth that certain preachers want to tell us. On the contrary, we read here of struggle, of tears, of blood. They wanted to live according to God's word. Thus saith the Lord. And they paid for it. How could they do it? What was this secret? What is the secret of the Chinese church, of the North Korean church? What's the secret of the church among Muslim nations? What's the secret of every true believer here in Canada? The secret is that they do not see life as beginning with birth and ending in death. They see life beginning with spiritual birth. The rebirth. And that is led to fruition in everlasting glory in heaven. That is their existence. For a child of God, death lies behind him. There's life ahead of him. That's their secret. And these all, having obtained a good report, verse 39, through faith received not the promise. What does that mean? They never saw the promise fulfilled that Christ actually came. But you, Hebrew Christians, you have seen that Christ has come. You have seen the promise. You know of Christ crucified. What is more, of Christ risen, conquering every enemy. And you have seen Christ ascended into heaven. He is now seated at the right hand of God. And you know that He is the living one. He has poured out His Spirit. And the church is growing. You know Him in your own heart and life. Verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, the believers of the Old Testament, without us should not be made perfect. Not be made perfect. That means teleos. That means the end, the aim. They couldn't reach the aim without us being witnesses of Christ. That together we would reach the aim of being forever with Christ in glory. Christ had to come to secure their salvation. And if you look at those believers of the Old Testament, you wonder how could they do it. Abraham, how could he do it? Give up all he had and live in tents. Would you like to live in a tent while all people around you are living in cities? How did he do it? God gave him strength. He looked to the city of God. He expected the city that had foundation. You know, at times we can drive around here, you see a beautiful home, you say, oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Such a beautiful home, so beautifully located here in the mountains. But Abraham looked forward to a better home. He looked forward to that home whose architect is God, the city of light, of joy. And Elijah, he looked forward to that city. And David and Paul and all God's children. That is their secret. Verse 16 says, God prepared a city for them. And that city is coming. John saw it. New Jerusalem descending from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And that will be a city. no filth, no smudge, no dirt, no sin, no death, no fear, no enemy. It will be blessed. It will be beautiful. It's reality. It's coming. They saw it. They lived for it. And that faith defined the attitude of these people. Why did Moses pay such a high price? Why was he prepared to do it? Because he esteemed the reproach of Christ, verse 26, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Why did the martyrs refuse to receive release? Because they wanted to be in that city. You know of Gladys Aylward? They called her the woman with a book, the English missionary, and she went to China, beginning of the 20th century. She took care of many orphans in China. And after the communist takeover, many young people had become Christians. Also, various of her orphans were lined up by the communists, and they had to come forward. The first one come forward. Do you want to be a Christian or do you want to be a communist? They see the person said, I want to be a Christian. And he had to bow down and they beheaded him. And everyone was watching. And it came the next one. What do you want? Communism or Christianity? He says, I will be a Christian. Head off. And so they went. And they all didn't want to accept deliverance. Why? Because they saw that city. They lived by faith in that city. They believed there was something far better set out before them. They waited for the fulfillment of the promises of God. And all these examples that shows us that faith is not irrational. It has a sure foundation. Faith acts. Faith transforms lives. Faith transforms families. It transforms churches, societies, cities. Verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. This believing that God is does not just to mean to believe that God exists, but it means to say, to know that God lives with all His attributes, with all His abilities, with His truth and faithfulness. That His future is coming. That He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That He is faithful, powerful, merciful, just and kind. But these Hebrew Christians here were preoccupied with that which was visible. They looked at the Jewish temple. And they saw it as this, as it were, through a powerful magnifying glass. But the non-visible world they saw through the other end, the wrong end of a telescope. And it seemed to be so small, so far, so insignificant. And that's why these Hebrews were crippled and weakened in faith. What was needed for them? To see reality as it is. That's faith. Faith looks at the invisible things. Faith sees Jesus at the right hand of God. Faith sees the city that God has prepared. And that faith is a struggle. Do you know this life of faith? Do you know this struggle against sin, the world, the devil, your own flesh? Or are you maybe floating along with sinful desires? Are you more concerned about the here and the now and not so much about knowing Christ and being changed like unto He is? Paul, he said, "Oh, that I may know Him." Is that what you also live by? Have you become someone who looks at the invisible things? This is what pulsates in the heart of believers. They look for the future blossom. And these Christians, they stand as witnesses in this world. They spread light. They reflect His joy. They love their Master, and it beams off from them. They live for His future. And although there is a struggle, maybe a personal burden, don't fear, child of God. Don't be afraid of struggles. Look to Him. Lay all your weakness down before Him. His strength is accomplished in your weakness. And maybe you know of your grandmother who had her struggle. You know it vividly. Maybe your father is no longer alive. You know of his struggle he had to go through. And maybe you're now going through a struggle. It seems unsurmountable. It's not. Don't give up. There is endless strength, endless blessing in Him. How blessed to live with Him. How awful to be focused on yourself and to live for yourself and not to know this faith. Oh, call upon His name to know Him. Ask Him for mercy, to intervene in your life, to save you if you don't live by this faith. It's so good to know Him. It's life. Amen.